loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now, they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.
Now it's time for Cam's Buddies. This week, we'll find out what they think about the increasingly strident warmongering against everybody but Maori that is coming from the Maori Party. My producer has them all lined up and ready to go, so let's go now to Cam's Buddies. Welcome to Cam's Buddies, Lindley. Good to have you back.
Hi, Cam. How's things?
Yeah, pretty good, apart from all the shenanigans going on with the Maori Party, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about. What do you think about all these threats and intimidation? And of course, we've got the protests happening today, you know, in the streets, blocking everybody on the motorways, all that sort of stuff, all because they don't agree with some policies that our democratically elected government have made.
Well, they've been rumbling on about this over quite a period of time. You know, it's been a steady build-up. And I'm talking over years. I have noticed it creeping in more and more. I think the activists at the top are serious. And one of them stood up in Parliament. I don't know whether it was last year or the year before, stood up in Parliament and said that they would never stop. And by 2040, they wanted complete sovereignty. So that wasn't just yesterday. And the language really says it all. And it's with the daily help of the MSM, who, of course, are funded until 2026 to promote anti-colonisation theories, stoke the fire, to promote Maori capture of the Treaty of Waitangi, and they encourage the victimhood of Maori on a daily basis, the victimhood at the hands of the so-called Pākehās. They're pushing Maori language on a daily basis more and more, until really it's difficult to even read an article. So the MSM are really hand-in-hand with them. I remember years ago Donald Trump was castigated for saying the mainstream media are the enemy of the people.
Yeah, well, they are.
Well, they are. And they have a huge influence on stoking violence. And, you know, having said this, I'd like to say the Maori people I know are actually happy to stay in a westernised society and are very non-violent, but these Maori Party MPs are not. They're inciting violence all the way, and they want the takeover of Maori authority and sovereignty. That's what they want. And what Waititi said, we want to be in control, total control, as a matter of fact, of our sovereignty by 2040. And he stood up in Parliament and said that, and he said we continue to fight forever and ever and ever, and we never ceded sovereignty. So, you know, this is fighting talk. And then we've had this person recently, Ms. Kapakingi, and she said, we're the only party that will fight ruthlessly for Te Iwi Māori to the death. And she wants to rewind to a time back in 1840, she said, when apparently everything was ideal.
And
Pākehā hands would not dare touch our babies then, she said. Well, I think she's got a bit of an idealised image of that.
Well, it's heroic, really. You know, it's just ridiculous, the situation. You raised the point about the media. I'll give you an example. Tuesday afternoon, late afternoon, News Hub put out an article, and in the article it says, and I quote, "For those wanting to participate down south," and then gives them details about where they can go and get information about the protest. Is it an article or is it a straight-up promotion? Well, I'd suggest it's a straight-up promotion and they're in on it.
Oh, It's absolute propaganda of the worst sort. And it's been going on for quite a while. And while it's easy to say, you know, the money that they get has kind of tempted them to go that way, but they're that way anyway. I just don't know what on earth happened to the world, really, because they just stoke this fire of dissatisfaction, really, and then it just builds and builds and builds, and the young people in particular pick up on it, and they think they are victims, you know. So they will get out there and fight, because when they're young, they're pretty stupid, and, you know, just like we were silly when we were young, they're silly too. And it's not like, you know, way back when I was sort of alongside of Maori people. It's a totally different society now. I don't think it's very good. And we've got 16% of New Zealand population are Maori, but 70% of children in care are Maori.
Well, this is what gets me, right, is they talk about 16% of the population are Maori. There is no one in New Zealand with 100% Maori DNA. There isn't. There just isn't. So the people who are saying these are my people are denying the other side or the other sides or the multiple sides of the DNA that exists in them that maybe come from intermarriage or you know, cohabitation over the years. And there's this this, you know, prevalence amongst Maori activists that you have just a mere smidge of Maori DNA in you, and that is just takes precedent over everything else, and that if you deny that 1/16th or 1/32nd or 1/64th or some microscopic amount of DNA that comes from Maori, that if you're denying that person that DNA or that right to their culture, it's their culture that takes precedence, not anybody else's culture. They may be, you know, 50% Irish, or in the case of Willie Jackson, have more Jewish ancestry in his DNA than he does Maori. But he's the one telling us that he's more Maori than Karen Shaw, you know, for example. It's just a ridiculous construct.
Why that is. Yeah, you know why that is, though, don't you?
Yeah, you tell me.
It's because that's a pathway to fiscal riches.
Yeah.
That's why it is. There's no other reason at all. And, you know, what I'm going to say now is a bit inflammatory, but I don't mean it to be. I'm only talking to these militant creeps at the top. If the Maori lifestyle was so absolutely superior in every way and colonisation ruined it, why doesn't the Maori Party go back to their desired 1840, give up all colonisation trappings and live that wonderful Indigenous lifestyle? Because they're actually free to do it in New Zealand. They've got land that's been given to them. It's really suitable land. You can go and live out in the bush and give everything up and live that wonderful life. Why don't they do that?
Well, I mean, let's just analyse it. The average age expectancy of Maori before Europeans arrived here was something like 35, at best 45, right? It's now it's now well into the 75%. So, you know, was that great? Was that cool? They lived in squalid little huts with dirt floors. There's no wooden floors. There was no windows. There was nothing, no glass, no metal, no ability to boil water, no wheel, right? They fought with wood, clubs, wooden, edged weapons with sharpened wood. So, you know, they wouldn't last very long. Yes, of course, they had stone type weapons and tools. But no metal or anything. And the time that they arrived in New Zealand was about the time also that the Vikings were conquering various different European nations, including a large chunk of Great Britain, all of Ireland, Iceland, all the way out exploring to Greenland and North America. And they had metal weapons and pots and, you know, livestock and all of those sorts of things. If we're comparing apples with apples here, it's not the same, you know, and To sit there and say, yeah, we reject colonialism, that we want to go back to the way it was, that everything was cool, is just ridiculous. Just a ridiculous construct that everything was bad. You know, Monty Python had a skit, you know, from Life of Brian, where they're sitting there as the People's Liberation Front of Palestine, complaining about what the Romans had ever done for us. And, you know, they're saying, well, what have the Romans ever done for us? And somebody pipes in and says, well, there's the aqueducts. And this is what Maori are doing now. These Maori activists are saying, what have the British ever done for us? Well, there's roads, there's hospitals, there's schools, there's education. Most importantly, there's laws and law and order. That's what the treaty brought to New Zealand. But now they want to reject that.
Yes, it also brought something else to them, and that was the wake-up of some Maori people who caught on pretty fast that actually the colonised way of life was something quite attractive, and they learnt that they did not have to stick in a tribe and live by tribalism. They could see suddenly, well, hey, I can earn something. I can actually have my own house, my very own. Now, that's pretty drastic thing compared to living in tribalism. And they got out there and they thought, well, how do I do this? Well, I have to have some money. So that's why they gravitated to quite well-paid jobs like in the freezing works and all those sort of things, and earned some money and bought a house. And then they realised they could actually raise their own family in that house, and it was a really superior lifestyle to what they had. But, you know, these activists, they're trying to make out that the Pākehās imposed their lifestyle onto the Maori, but it was actually the other way around, as I recall.
What they're wanting is a return to tribalism and everything that's bad that goes along with that. And I think that's something that we need to oppose. And it's not racist to say no. This is where society is now, and you fit in or go away. It's ridiculous the situation that they're bringing to this. You know, talk of genocide and stealing languages. No one stole their language. They just chose not to use it. You know, you don't hear Italians complaining that Latin was stolen from them, do you? It's just ridiculous.
And I've had Gaelic stolen from me, so, you know, I'm sad and flat. That's a terrible thing.
No, I know, I'm the same. I've had it stolen from me too, yeah.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, if they want to go back to that lifestyle, there's a place not that far from here, about an hour and a half away in a car, and it's called Cannibal Gorge.
We can't talk about that.
But I'm just talking about geography and the name of the place.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. So,
obviously, there were some tasty morsels available there.
Oh, bloody terrible anyway. But look, I know that the listeners would like to hear a funny little thing again, a funny sentence.
Okay.
Wouldn't they?
Yep, just before you go, that'll be perfect.
Yeah, we've got a good one here. We've got the Maori Health Authority, which is disbanded, isn't it?
Yep.
But anyway, online they've got a Maori Health Authority-funded thing called Healthline New Zealand, which is online. Mm. And they state, quote, "Our goal is to deliver the highest calibre content that provides a sense of clarity and inspires healthy actions for our readers along their health and well-being journeys. And their very first article is, does picking your nose increase your risk of dementia?
Well,
now, this is a fact. And this rubbish is where the Maori health funding went.
Yeah, picking your nose causes dementia. All right. Okay, Lindley, thanks for a fabulous chat as usual. I'm sure we'll get lots of feedback on your comments there. And we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Cam. See you later. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Cam's Buddies, Paul. Good to have you back.
Thank you, Cam. Good to be back.
Now, I wanted to talk to you today about the disruption that the Maori Party has caused today on Budget Day in the streets with protests going on strike, using inflammatory terms like genocide and revolution and overthrowing the government and all of those sorts of things. What your thoughts are on that?
I think that we keep forgetting it's not what can the country do for you, what can the government do for you, or what can your fellow taxpayers do for you with their taxes. It's what can you do for your country. And I think many of these people are pathetic. So if Maori want extra things in some form of racial bias so that because of the colour of their skin they should be getting an easier track to owning a home, better education, less likely to be punished if they commit a crime, why? What is that about? Why wouldn't we all want to work out what we can do better for the country, so that the country is a better place for everyone to live in the future, rather than saying, what can the people who pay tax give us for free so that we can have our children who are born mostly out of wedlock and no fathers, what can we get the government to give them for free so that they can maintain a lifestyle of being less effective than they could be?
Well, totally. But if you look at some of the things that they're saying as well, like this clown, Rawiri Waititi, who said on Tuesday that there's been strikes in New Zealand for years, including before employment agreement processes were implemented, who said only one person gets to determine what a strike is? Strikes are controlled by legislation. You've been an employer of large numbers of staff. You can't just willy-nilly declare a strike. But what he's saying is, I want to declare a strike, that I'm have more say than anybody else, and all the Maori that are out there that agree with me will all go on strike as well, and we don't care what the law is. But in the same breath, he's insisting that the treaty be honoured at the same time as he's breaching the treaty himself.
Yes, but the reason they have rules on strikes is what you want to do is have an effective message being given to people if there's a problem. No, but not we're not being silly as far as Maori are already, if you have a medical condition, Maori get to be ahead of other races on the waiting list. If you need to get some sort of form of vaccination, they had flu jabs for Maori if they were 55, other people if they were 60. And then they're saying, in any school, if you're looking at an ERO report, they want to know, what are you doing specifically for your Maori students? But there's already tons of things that are happening in our society that are putting a special effort into making it better for Maori. But as soon as you single one group out to have special conditions, then they somehow, the slack is taken up and they become less effective. I found if you want to damage someone, give them free stuff, and then they expect it and they become useless at earning and foraging for the correct stuff.
Yeah, one of the activists, carry on.
So I just look at them thinking, here's these activists saying, we want better homes for our children. Well, why don't you get out there and earn more money? We want better education for our children. Well, why don't you see that they go to school every day? We want less prisons. We want a population in prison that's more relevant to our population ratios with the community. Well, teach your kids to have less crime. I mean, these things are cause and effect, and I still put it down to absent fathers. And so if the fathers would step up, then a whole lot of things happen better for everybody. Like in the day when I was a youngster, I didn't actually know that the Maori or Pacifica kids weren't the same as the European kids. I didn't know. People at their house used to say, what colour are their hair? And I say, oh, no, black. Oh, I didn't even know that they were different. I thought we were all just people and New Zealanders. And having everyone saying, oh, we've got to do extra for this group of people and let's have everybody go on strike on a particular day from that race, you're thinking, you're 2.5% of the vote and you think that you can actually swing a big axe? You're swinging a toothpick, man.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You know, it's just ridiculous. I mean, you mentioned about, you know, what the government can do for people or what they can provide. The flip side of that is what this, you know, organisation, Toitū Tūturutī, it's run by Eru Kapa King, is saying what this government is doing to Māori on a daily basis is much worse. Well, let's have a look at the Vote Māori and see how many billions of dollars that they're giving to Māori. You have to wonder, what sort of, do these people need to see Specsavers or something? Because they're not seeing what I'm seeing.
Well, also, when people say it's unfair, you're unfairly treating Māori, why don't Māori go into business and then have other Māori go and support their businesses, customers, and then the Māori make all the profit, and then the Māori will then enjoy the fruits of their labour? Why is it that if a white man's in business, he has to give something to Māori, but if a Māori, there's nothing preventing Māori from being the employer. There's nothing preventing Māori in New Zealand from doing all the things that they want governments to give them so that they can be equal to other races who are getting things done. Like if you look at Japanese people, they get the bomb dropped on them. They smoke like you've never seen before. They live long and prosper. And why? Because they work hard and they have family values. And so when you look at these people that are saying, we have to give this to Māori, why? Why aren't they going out and getting it for themselves? And whenever they talk about the government has to do this, what they really mean is white males who are the net contributors of tax and one of the few groups that are, because Māori in general are net recipients, not net contributors. So what they're saying is let's go on strike because the white people's taxpayers haven't given enough of their tax to support us yet.
Well, that's what it seems to be, isn't, you know, that's exactly, well, that is what it seems to be, that that expecting Europeans or everybody else actually to pay for a lifestyle in a world that they're rejecting with every breath that they take. Yes. I don't get
and
it.
I say we don't support King's birthday celebration because we don't think that the European king has sovereignty over us, and so we're going to do what we're going to do, except on benefit day. Yeah. On benefit day, please can we have some of the money that you've taxed the other folk other than Māori to be net gain from. And look, the Māori staff that I've had that have worked for me, the Māori bosses that I've had that have worked with me, they've been fantastic people. So the average Māori that you talk to isn't full of this nonsense. It's just somehow this elite class think that they can get into Parliament and we're going to show you because they're going to be against everything.
They're going to get into Parliament that colonialism brought to New Zealand.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Right.
And pays their salary. I mean, when the guys work with me on the job, we laughed together, we dug holes together, we dug trenches together, we filled them in, we laid cable, we went and had a beer together afterwards because we'd done a hard day's work and had a lot of laughs. There was nothing to do with whom was who. It was to do with we're working hard, we're making money, and we're having fun. And now we've got people saying, yeah, but colonialism, look what it did to you. Our Māori people have a poor diet, and as such, they live a few years shorter than the Europeans. Having said that, they live twice as long as they used to under their own steam. And then they're saying things like, our Māori people, we have to have go on strike because they're not getting a fair go as far as the money that they're receiving from the government that they don't wish to honour. It's just hard to believe.
That's what Miles was saying. He's saying that what the Māori Party is doing is they're saying they want to abrogate the treaty and go back to total sovereignty of Maori in New Zealand and ignore everything that happened post 1840. He said they're the ones who are breaching the treaty, nobody else, them. I think there's some merit in that argument.
Well, I think there's a lot of merit in that argument. But also you've got a group of people that were like a Stone Age civilization that didn't even have the wheels. Mm. Now they want to use all the infrastructure to go on the roads that have been made by, who was it? The Romans, I think, invented the roads. But what did they do for mankind, as you say?
What did they ever do for us?
Yes, we want to go on those roads and cause strike and chaos when the pre-settlement or whatever culture, before the Europeans came and did the terrible job of colonizing them so they could live twice as long, but they were eating one another. And that was a type of thing. And some of the natural resources of New Zealand became extinct under their watch. And so they're saying, yeah, we've got it all right. It's everybody else's fault, so we can blame you.
Yeah. And, you know, they say enough is enough. I think most New Zealanders are sitting here looking at these clowns with their funny hats sitting in Parliament. You know, somebody's had a Sharpie attack them on the face, and they're saying, no, actually, we've had enough. We've had enough of this nonsense. And I think they won't get what they wish for. I think they'll get the opposite of what they wish for.
And also, if you would just let's see what the budget brings. Let's just, like, going on strike the same day that the budget's released today, you just look and you think, but it might have had a lot of good things in there for you. Go figure. And I think Shane Jones is actually coming to the fore, as is Winston, saying we've had enough of everybody bitching and moaning about things that aren't going right. Let's all get out and have a go. Good day's work, good day's pay, all live happily ever after.
Isn't that what that's the egalitarian society that we all want in New Zealand, where Jack's as good as his master, then we all have a fair suck of the salve, right? That's what we all want. Yeah, New Zealanders are pretty fair-minded. What we're seeing here is a very, very, very small group of people who are not that eloquent, have irrational arguments, trying to tell us that they know best. Well, you know, we're allowed in a free democracy to say, no, you don't know best, and here's why. And they don't like that. They call that racism and try and shout us down. But I know that you and myself are not ones to be told what we can and can't say.
Exactly.
And all right, Paul, I better go on to Jack. Sorry.
Okay. Take care. You have a good one, and we'll talk next week.
Yeah, Jack's waiting, so I better, you know, how cantankerous Jack can be, so I better go to him.
Indeed.
And I'll talk next week. Thanks.
Bye for now.
Bye. Welcome to Cam's Buddies, Jack. Fantastic to have you back.
Oh, thanks, Cam. Nice to hear your voice.
Wow, you were gallivanting around Australia last week, weren't you?
Oh, I was on an aviation course in Melbourne.
Oh, was it at the airport?
At Moorabbin, which is one of the four airports around there.
Yes, I lived in Melbourne for a couple of years, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
I don't suppose you would have heard any New Zealand news about the carrying on over there by the Maori Party, et cetera. It would have been quite a pleasant break being in Australia and not having to listen to all that nonsense.
Well, funny enough, I still tune into Her Majesty's New Zealand Herald every day, wherever I am in the world. So I still keep up. But you think we've got problems with Australia. They got the Middle Eastern problem. You would have heard about the cake-making place in Sydney that made the cupcakes featuring ISIS warriors on the top and selling them a three-year-old birthday party. They had the three-year-old dressed up as an ISIS warrior, and they're dishing out all these cakes to everybody. So they've got worse problems than us.
Oh, I'm sure they do have worst problems than us, but, you know, we've still got the same sort of problem here, not just perhaps not to the same extent. Anyway, this week what I wanted to talk about was the nonsense that the Maori Party is carrying on with strikes and holding up traffic, all protesting a budget that they haven't heard yet.
I think I don't know, but I think that most people are just sick to death of those Maori people in Parliament, painted face in particular. Most Maori I know are hardworking people that just want to get on with their life and have a, you know, a good life. And you get cretins like him that do illegal things like inciting racism and illegal acts, and yet he gets away with it. That's what I can't understand.
Well, you know, talking about strikes and calling on strikes, individuals to go on strike, is illegal. It's actually against the law. But you know, they don't think the law applies to him. They insist that everybody else follows the law when it comes to making payments under the treaty. They want all of that, but when it suits them, we don't want to follow the law.
Can I ask a question? If we become a republic, does that mean that the treaty would have to go?
Well, this is the problem. You know, theoretically, Maori would fight having a republic because it would remove the crown.
The gravy train.
Yeah, as a party to the treaty. I won't say partner because it's not a partnership. It was just, it's as clear in both Maori and in English that Maori cede in sovereignty forever. It's what it says. And they're saying they never ceded sovereignty. Well, tough, you did.
Exactly. So I like that word, tough. Why doesn't someone get tough on these guys?
Well, because people are scared. Like Christopher Luxon's wetter than an otter's pocket, you know, and so he doesn't want to upset anybody in case they get upset and have a harker and, you know, bear their backside at him. He's one of those, you know, people who wants everyone to love him but doesn't actually have the nous to realise that not everyone will love you, and so he gets upset about it.
Well, I can tell you for one, I don't love him and never will. I mean, talk about weasel words. Tell me something he's actually done since he's gotten Parliament or become the leader.
Yeah, no, I can't.
I can't think of one thing he's done.
You've actually made me lost for words, and that's a very rare thing.
Yeah, we're getting off track. Anyway, my thoughts are lock that painted face up for life. Put him in jail. Never let him out. Send a lesson to them. Shut up. Just get on. Carry on.
Yeah, do something constructive instead of always being negative Nelly. You know, just
what has he done? Tell me what he's actually done while he's being handsomely paid in Parliament. How long has he been in there and what has he done?
Well, he wore a silly hat.
Yeah, not even a New Zealand hat. Borrowed it from Texas.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Well, and then he had the silly feather hat as well, remember?
Oh, what was that?
Yeah, on the opening of Parliament, he wore this, you know, feather hat. Apparently it's a Maori thing. I've never seen it. In all the paintings of Goldie, in all of the pictures of artists, you know, back in the day, there was never any pictures of Maori with silly hats on. Never.
If he could be magically transported back to 1839, I think the Maori would kill him. He'd be gone.
Probably. Or he'd be taken as a slave or something like that, you know, by someone who's stronger.
Yes, exactly. I mean, don't forget, that's why they called on the British government to help them, because they were being massacred by their own people. And they said, please help us. We'll do whatever you like, but we want to join you guys because you've got some semblance of law and order.
Well, that was the entire premise of the treaty, to bring law and order to New Zealand. And
exactly.
And in order to do that, you have to cede sovereignty. Otherwise, who's in charge? Because if they didn't cede sovereignty, who was in charge?
Exactly.
Right? Well, it wasn't Maori, was it? It was the government. So they must have ceded sovereignty.
Well, they were all fighting amongst themselves. They couldn't stop.
I'm not sure we're going to ever solve this problem, Jack, but we can sure as hell have a good fun time discussing it.
One thing to remember, though, is how I opened. Our problems aren't as bad as Australia's.
Yeah, they're different kinds of problems, aren't they?
They are. They're still problems.
Yeah, problems nonetheless. Anyway, Jack, I better go. Got another caller waiting, and we'll talk again next week.
See you later.
Welcome to Cam's Buddies, Jimmy. Good to have you back.
G'day, Cameron. You're well?
Always well, mate. You know the answer to that.
Now, what do you got for me this week, mate? There's a lot been happening.
Well, you know, Monday we had the Maori Party who put up some awful images on social media, and also an Instagram post by Rari Waititi's wife, and who's also John Tamahiri's daughter, where they're talking about taking control of the government, taking over the government, usurping power. The imagery had pistols and burning, and all of the Maori Party MPs who retweeted it or spread it around were putting burning emblems, you know, emojis on their social media tweets. And, of course, on Tuesday, Rari Waititi announced that they weren't going to have hikoi's, they were going to have karkoi's, where they were going to drive cars extremely slowly on motorways and block on-ramps and off-ramps, all for Thursday. That's what they said. They were going to do this on Thursday to protest a budget that they haven't seen or heard of. And, of course, we've got a whole bunch of these protesters out there now have blocked roads and caused all sorts of carnage and mayhem, all because they oppose the policies of a democratically elected government. And I'm just interested what you think about that.
Well, I'm just glad the protests this morning were a flop. No one cares. All it did is piss people off. If you're going to block people trying to earn money to feed their families, you're just going to lose more support. Using guns and imagery for a political party is a massive red flag, and I cannot believe that the media won't call them out on it. ACT get called out for supporting legal, safe gun ownership. They get called out for saying they're going to get more people killed. Here we have a party using actual guns and slogans, and they don't get questioned about it at all. It's a disgrace. I can't believe it.
Total disgrace.
So, yeah,
a double standard.
For a flop.
Yeah, there's a double standard, isn't there? Absolute double standard.
It's a massive double standard, mate. And the exaggeration saying that they're trying to, like, cancel Maori's. I mean, it's insane. JT's daughter looked unhinged.
Well, do you remember?
Mad.
Do you remember when David Seymour said that Guy Fawkes was the only person who entered Parliament with honourable intentions, right? And they and the media screamed, "He's trying to blow up Parliament. He wants to blow up things." Blah blah blah. Here you've got JT's daughter making unhinged statements about taking control. Enough is enough. We're not tolerating this anymore. We're going to take control of the government. We never ceded sovereignty. We're going to take our own sovereignty, and we're going to supersede all the colonialist things that are in place, and we're going to take control, and this is our country, and you can all go hang. Not a peep.
Yeah, but no one actually asked these idiots how they'd actually proposed to do it. Like, okay, go ahead, do what you're going to do. What are you going to do? Like, build another government? How's she going to get the taxes? Like how's it actually going to work without the main government supporting it?
I think they want colonial taxes. They love that aspect.
Of course they do. They're just a bunch of woke communists, and they're using Maridom as a vehicle. And it's terrible, to be honest. Most of the government we have at the moment is the biggest percentage of Maori we've ever had. The Deputy Prime Minister.
They're not the right sort of Maori, though.
And that's the problem. Yeah. They don't really care unless it's the type. Like, it's impossible to satisfy these unhinged nutters. And I hope that people are watching these people, because this is going to potentially create really dangerous conditions for our country. You know, real divisive, ugly situation that's basically unnecessary. Because, you know, race relations and that have been getting better for the last, you know, 100, 200 years. And yet we seem to be going into a period where we're going backwards.
Well, they use statements like, you know, the government is committing genocide on Maori. They're talking about the government stole our language. Well, if the government stole the language, I know one thing about governments, they're very good at archiving things. Are they suggesting there's an archive of Maori language somewhere that was stolen? I mean, this is the lunacy of their arguments, where they're using highly emotive terms and increasingly more violent terms, where they're talking about this is a revolution, you know, pictures of guns burning things. Revolutions are never bloodless, right? That very
Wearing Che Guevara's hat.
Well, exactly, you know. Just insane.
I think both sides can admit that atrocities did take place in
Of course they did. It's a historical fact.
19th century. Hmm. But it was just a thing that happened back then. Like, it was horrendous stuff happened all over the world. Terrible. We can't reverse time. We've just got to go forward together somehow. And these people aren't willing to, for a start, they won't propose a way to go forward that's not lunatic, right? So I don't know what you do about it. I have no idea why the media gives these people airtime. It's insane.
I think they're in on it. I think it's just because it's anti-government and they're anti-government, this government in particular. And I think they're just doing it because they can. But it doesn't create harmony in society as a result. It certainly isn't doing that. You know, people will probably write in and complain that I'm being racist or, well, I'm just talking about the situation. We have a bunch of people who don't believe in democracy. You know, Debbie Packer has said that, you know, it's outrageous that the government is going to bring in referenda for voters to say whether yes or no, whether they want Maori wards. And that's appalling, and we need to oppose that. So we've got the co-leader of the Maori Party on record as saying she doesn't believe in democracy. And that's apparently okay.
No, she won't like democracy if she got the outcome she wanted, Kim.
Well, that's right. But they don't believe in democracy. They don't want people having a say. They don't want...
No, they're commies. They're commies. They would love to be the dictators in a communist Maori state, but it's just not going to happen. Because there's too many good, normal Maori oppose it as well. You know, it's utter insanity. The sooner those two current co-leaders are gone, the previous Maori co-leaders, Peta and Tariana, were amazing and accepted the reality.
Yeah, Peta Sharples and Tariana Turia acted with integrity and honesty.
Big time.
Yeah, you know, I've got nothing but praise for Tariana Turia. You know, she was part of the Labour Party. She didn't agree with Helen Clark and the foreshore and seabed legislation, so she said, well, I'm going to resign. I'm going to resign from Parliament, I'm going to hold a by-election, and I'm going to win. And she did. That's a person of integrity. She didn't party hop.
Principles.
Yeah, she's got principles. I might not agree 100% with her on that,
but I
admire anybody who has principles and does what she says she's going to do, and she did, and she acted with integrity and honesty in all aspects of her life in Parliament, and so did Peta Sharples. That's why John Key worked with them. But this lot, you can't work with them.
No, and I think that's a good thing for the right side of the House, because whenever anyone ever votes for the Labour Party again, you're going to get the Māori Party and the Green Party with unhinged Schwabra as a side plate with them, which is a massive problem for Labour.
Total problem for Labour.
Like, and that's why Chippy's still there, because no one else wants to lead because of this problem.
Yep.
So, to be fair, as long as they never actually get into power, imagine the carnage if they did. They'd just imagine the Greens, the Māori Party and Labour sitting in the cabinet room trying to make...
I can imagine the carnage. It'd be just awful.
It'd be pretty funny viewing, except for the carnage for the country, but yeah. Imagine the extremists sitting in cabinet.
Oh, mate, it'd be terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all we've got time for today, Jimmy. So thanks for your contribution, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Cam. Cheers, mate.
See you, mate. Bye. You know, if a white nationalist had said the things that the Maori Party is saying, you can be assured that the SIS and the police would be kicking in their doors. We'd also not hear the end of it from Kate Hanna and Byron Clark from the Disinformation Project. Strangely, they and the Human Rights Commission are suddenly very silent. Tell us your thoughts on Cam's Buddies by emailing inbox@realitycheck.radio or text to 2057.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.